China Connection, Iowa Political Reactions, Republican Insights from Former Ambassadors and the State House, on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart. I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network. The availability of high-speed broadband service is essential to fulfilling the promise of a connected Iowa. ICN's Broadband Matters campaign showcases the importance of delivering broadband to all corners of Iowa. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com. Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
The Arlene McKeever Endowment Fund at the Iowa Public Television Foundation, a fund established to support local programming on Iowa Public Television.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond. Now celebrating more than 40 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, December 9 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
President-elect Donald Trump's decision to relocate Iowa Governor Terry Branstad to the U.S. Embassy in Beijing, China, is opening all sorts of possibilities, some real, some speculative, but all with powerful implications, ranging from economic to political. Now, if the U.S. Senate confirms the appointment, Branstad joins a list of Iowans who have headed U.S. embassies. In 2008, Charles Larson Jr. was sworn in as ambassador to Latvia by then-Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, serving in that role just a little more than a year. Mary Kramer served 2 years, 2004 to 2006, as U.S. ambassador to Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. When political leaders, such as Governor Branstad, leave, there's speculation among other politicians on how to fix them. Bill Northey, in his third term as Iowa's Secretary of Agriculture, is one of them. And welcome to Iowa Press, all of you. And you've all been on Iowa Press. And, and I want to also note, in reading your CVs, I also know that you, Ambassador Kramer, and you, Ambassador Larson, served in the Iowa legislature. So you have that in common.
Yes, oh, absolutely. We do.
Well, I want to introduce the people you know across the table, but to our listeners, Des Moines Register columnist Kathy Obradovich and Radio Iowa's news director, Kay Henderson.
Ambassador Kramer, what would be your best advice to Governor Branstad as he departs for China?
Remembering that it is like Iowa building trust relationships with your across-the-table friends, and assuming they're going to be friends from the beginning. And so it's a work of finding common ground as soon as possible.
So you don't approach them in an adversarial way, is
correct.
What you're saying?
Correct. We're going to assume that we can find lots of win-win things to accomplish together.
Ambassador Larson, what would be your advice to the governor as he departs?
Well, I think elected or former elected officials like Ambassador Kramer are some of the best ambassadors, and so Governor Branstad will be amazing because he understands constituent services, and nobody works harder than him. And so I see day one him immediately reaching out, and probably most important, what he has that no one else has at that level in the United States is a relationship of trust, not only with the Chinese president, but the people of China. And that is what an ambassador has to establish very quickly in their term in order to be able to move the dial and get things done for our country.
Had you ever been to Latvia before you were appointed?
No, but I'll tell you, Latvia is predominantly Lutheran, and I'm Lutheran also. And so it's the first time in my life I could be in a Lutheran country.
Move to Northern Iowa.
Yes.
Had you a previous relationship with...
No, but when I was asked if I would be interested in serving, I had to go and get a book and find out where it was.
Secretary Northey, you issued a written statement almost at the same time that the news came that it was official Governor Branstad would be the next ambassador to China, and you withdrew from your name from consideration for running for governor. Why did you feel compelled to do that?
Well, I think it's important to be able to support our next governor, whatever the political conversation is, whether she's governor or acting governor, she will be our next governor. I think it's important to support our next governor, to be able to have a strong 2 years with the Iowa legislature, and the math certainly changed. I think it's important to be able to do that. I wanted to be able to clear that up. If I was going to get questions about it, I'd just as well go ahead and respond with my decision.
Your predecessor as Secretary of Agriculture wound up as Lieutenant Governor. Would you be interested in that job if you were invited?
Well, we'll see what plays out. I think there's even conversation about whether there would be a lieutenant governor appointed or those kinds of things. So I'd certainly be interested in talking. It depends what the governor, new governor, is going to be interested in having in the role as lieutenant governor. I certainly am interested in being able to serve Iowans. I love my job. But she'll have a choice of a lot of great folks.
Bill Northey, I just tried to follow up before that, Kathy. Have you had a conversation with Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds after you issued the statement of saying support Lieutenant Governor as governor?
We had a very short conversation, nothing about anything going forward other than to say I certainly am there to support her 100% and am willing to help in whatever way there needs to be. So I just am very excited about the opportunity. I'm excited about the governor being our ambassador to China. I think that's great for the state and great for the country. But I'm excited about the lieutenant governor becoming our governor and being able to help in whatever way makes sense.
And Ambassador Larson, you are very familiar with Terry Branstad and how he governs. You've been able to watch Kim Reynolds as lieutenant governor. What would you expect from her as a governing style that would be different from what she has been learning for the last 6 years from Terry Branstad?
Well, I'll tell you what I love about Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds. I was in a meeting one time where we had some very difficult decisions, and the governor was there. And Kim, and I've seen many politicians in life that calculate what's in my best political interest. She looked at the governor and said, we need to do this. This is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love. We need leaders that are decisive. They understand they want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. It may not be politically the best thing sometimes, but she did the right thing. And so I think her style will be very similar to Governor Branstad's. It's my hope. I haven't visited with her, but Iowa's economy, growing it, putting men and women back to work is always a top priority, and I would imagine that would be a big part of her focus.
What's your estimate? You mentioned a situation where she just influenced the governor. Did you get the feeling that she had a lot of influence?
Oh, absolutely.
In the administration?
No. Anybody who's studied this administration and worked with them knows that they worked as a team, and not only at events together, in meetings together, appointments, discussing who should be appointed. No, it's been a very strong team.
She also becomes the titular head of the Republican Party. That's a role that you know well, Chuck Larson. Isn't it a bit of a fire hose, bathing in a fire hose, to become governor and also leading the Republican Party of Iowa all in one swoop?
Well, no, I think she'll be good. I mean, she's loved by her base. She's a conservative Republican. She's thoughtful. She's a leader. She's dynamic. I'm just very, very excited.
And Ambassador Kramer, you have had experience being the first woman in a job when you were president of the Senate. Is there something that you experience that you expect that Kim Reynolds will also experience as the first woman to be governor of Iowa?
Well, I kind of like to say about my role was when they gave me the gavel, I realized I better be prepared to use it. I started by listening, and I think that's one of Lieutenant Governor Reynolds' really big skills, is that it doesn't just roll over. She listens in a way that she figures out where people are coming from. I think she's uniquely prepared by temperament and by experience
Is there a way, though, that you said you have to be prepared to use the gavel? Yes. Is there a way that she needs to make her mark to say, okay, I am not Terry Branstad light, you know, I'm going to be my own person?
I have no doubt she feels right now she is her own person. And I have no doubt that those occasions will present themselves. I would not suggest she goes looking for a way to make a mark. It comes to you.
It comes to
like
you.
A firehouse a little bit.
But if Terry Branstad sets the agenda in the condition of the state, does that become her agenda?
I think many ways right now they have a huge amount of a shared vision of the desired future. So I just don't see things that are going to, for her to say, whoa, I don't want to do that. I just don't see that on this level.
Okay. Secretary Northey, Donald Trump had a rally in Iowa this past week. He talked about Terry Branstad, and he mentioned that the governor had been on 6 trade missions to China. As a person who's gone on trade missions overseas, some of which you attended with Governor Branstad, what does he like in those instances in which he is with foreign dignitaries? And how do you expect him to prosecute, if you will, the job of ambassador?
Oh, I think he'll be wonderful. So, I mean, he's, you know, Governor Branstad is Governor Branstad. He's in Iowa, and he is friendly. He's inquisitive. He's got a relationship, just like he does with Iowans, with the Chinese. This relationship is extremely valuable, and I'm very pleased the president-elect saw that and realized how important that is. I remember when the vice president of China, then vice president, now president of China, came to Iowa 3 years ago, and then traveling, we took a group of Iowa companies the month after that to China, and how important that relationship between Iowa and China is. And they recognize how significant it was that the vice president had chosen to visit the West Coast, the East Coast, and Iowa, and to visit these areas. And so we got questions every place we went, and certainly now with the ambassador being a governor from Iowa, a longtime friend of the president, it's great for the country because this is going to be a challenging relationship, but it's also, I think, great for Iowa.
One of the things that Debbie Durham, who's the director of the Iowa Economic Development Authority, told me this week was that when she was most recently with the governor in China in November, officials there would pivot and start talking about national and international relations with the U.S., and Branstad would try to defer and say, you know, I'm only the governor, and they'd say, oh, you're a diplomat, you are so influential. Did that happen when you were there as well?
It did. I think he's looked at as a national leader, but he always did a great job of saying, you know, I'm here to promote Iowa and those connections, and that was his role then. He'll probably not pivot away from that international and role when he's ambassador, and he'll have lots of support around him to be able to work through all the challenging issues that there are. There's nobody more prepared, has had an opportunity to be able to visit more places, develop relationships. This is a very good thing for Iowa, but a great thing for the country.
Speaking of the support team, Ambassador Larson, what does an ambassador do for people who've never been an ambassador? And what is the role of the staff, the permanent staff, the foreign service officers who have been on the ground perhaps for years, if not decades,
sure,
in China?
Well, surprisingly, the staff is about one-third American and then two-thirds, in this case, local or Chinese. And his mission is really to strengthen relationships. And my philosophy when I was ambassador to Latvia was I wanted to ensure that regardless of what the problem was, the first phone call the Latvians made was to the United States. Not to the Russians, not to the Germans, not to the French, but to the United States. And as a former elected official, or currently the governor is, but he will understand that mission and no one will be better. I think we're entering into a very significant shift in our foreign policy with China, one from working to make China a responsible stakeholder to a philosophy of counterbalancing China. And so that will be fascinating for the governor. It will be challenging, but no one can do a better job than he.
And you bring up an interesting point, because when Donald Trump was here on Thursday night, he had a to-do list.
Right.
And he's been pretty specific about it. You're stealing our intellectual property. You're manipulating your currency. You're not doing your job with the North Koreans. I mean, Ambassador Kramer, this seems like a hefty wish list or to-do list for anybody.
It is. It's a shift in direction, and I think we're beginning to believe that President-elect Trump says what he means, and it's pretty clear that those things that you listed are among those. But it won't be a surprise, and the Chinese will understand that Governor Branstad is not only representative of the United States, but by accepting this job, he is agreeing with the agenda that the president-elect brings to the table. Mm-hmm. So that won't be a surprise. I think one thing you didn't mention was the Chinese have been quite provocative in some of their acts in the South China Seas.
And building an island.
Exactly, and trying to extend their territory. And I think that will be an interesting discussion for us to point out that that is provocative.
Does Donald Trump's rhetoric on those topics make Terry Branstad's job harder when he goes in as an ambassador?
In Iowa, we aren't crazy about protocol. You know, we're happy to call each other by our first names, and we just, it's never been very important to us. However, when you realize that your audience, it is very important. It was very important to the leaders in the Caribbean that we follow the parameters of protocol because it is respectful and it's very important. I think you can multiply that by 4, maybe 10, with the Chinese. But to his credit, Governor Branstad already understands that. And so he knows what those parameters are, and he's perfectly able to begin with a respectful conversation.
Mary, does that, and maybe we've already asked the question, I'll ask it another way, does that put Governor Branstad in a tenuous position going in with an agenda from President Trump that may not be to the liking of the Chinese people? Can they say, we're not going, you're persona non grata?
No. Well, they need to have a win-win situation, maybe more than the United States does. And they have issues with the millions of people they have. Their worst fear is those millions of people. I remember hearing Secretary Rice speak to the fact that their huge fear is that they will have an uprising because of food insecurity or problems that we don't really contemplate so much in the United States. So I think they would appreciate the openness of this is what we're going to talk about. At the same time, they have to have the trade aspects, especially with food, which makes Iowa so important to them.
Speaking of food insecurity, Secretary Northey, beef, soybeans. What's pending out there that you think Terry Branstad could be the deal closer on?
Well, certainly beef has been a real struggle to get back since 2003 when we had the mad cow disease case here. They stopped beef imports from the United States. That's been slowly coming back, but not really coming back. And that needs to open up. It absolutely does. And to be able to have that, we certainly need to be able to continue our exports in soybeans and improve their approvals of the process for biotechnology. That has limited our ability to export corn and DDGs. And so some of these trade challenges are certainly on the plate as well, South China Sea and currency manipulation. I really do think the strong rhetoric actually creates opportunities for blunt conversation about some issues that have drug on a long time.
Why do you say that, Mary?
I say that because I find it really useful to have the hard stuff on the table. It isn't the 100-pound elephant with the rug over it anymore. It's right out there. And so we both know that we're going to have to discuss it.
But I would also say that President-elect Trump wants a strong bilateral relationship.
Absolutely.
That's not a one-way street. And in this form as an ambassador, you cannot bang the table and demand something. You're a guest in the country. And so the way you accomplish something, as the governor does now, is through leadership, by helping people understand why this change needs to occur and also understanding where, in this case, the Chinese are coming from on issues.
Does good cop, bad cop?
That is a good
point. Yeah, well, I mean, and,
I did not say that. And,
but when President Xi has come to visit Iowa, Terry Branstad was very much the good cop. He was the good host, yeah. Do everything to make the guests feel welcome and don't do anything that might make them feel uncomfortable, like right. Bring up uncomfortable topics. Is it harder now to put the shoe on the other foot and say, okay, now I'm a guest in your country, but we're going to have to talk about these tough issues?
No, I don't think so. I think he is a diplomat in the way he has carried out his duties as governor, and he'll do an outstanding job of raising these issues, helping explain. What he has that no one else has in the United States is a foundation of trust with the country and the leadership of China, and that is the most important.
We all know that President Trump has done some things in an unorthodox, unconventional way. Were the Chinese, do you think, consulted Mary Kramer before the appointment? That is, do they know that this is who I'm sending as a guest in your country?
I was told by the Muscatine friends that the Chinese president had indicated that Governor Branstad was a long-time and valued friend before the appointment was publicly announced. I think the other thing we have to realize is it's really possible to have serious and difficult discussions, but it is not the trust comes from you're not going to go out and bash the government officials after you have these discussions. You both realize you're way better off to keep open communications there. And, of course, the Chinese don't have a problem with the free press or whatever, so it becomes very important.
Well, that brings in a question that how much of the ambassador's role is public, that is, that we all understand, and how much is diplomacy that is somewhat secret? Chuck?
Oh, I would say an enormous part of the mission is public. And we use the press corps to as a very important part of our mission, and so a robust media is critical. Press conferences on a regular basis. This is how we put our message out there, and so it's very similar to the United States.
Regularly, in our case, they're regularly invited to lunch at the residence to do what we'd like to call deep background kind of things. Ask me any question you would like, and so that kind of relationship's important. But when you speak of an agenda, I don't think I ever went to anything, a reception, a meeting, a school visit, that I didn't have some agenda from my team at the embassy that they would like me to stress or to talk to certain people that weren't so accessible to them but were to me, those kinds of things. You're never off.
But there were times when you had to keep secrets, right, and do things behind the scenes and not let people know what you're saying and what you're doing.
Sure. I mean, there are messages that have to be delivered quietly so they understand the severity, but not done in a public way so it doesn't embarrass the other party.
Ambassador Kramer, you told me earlier this week that as ambassador you have to fight for the money.
Yes.
Within the State Department. Explain.
It is, especially with the continuing resolution, that's a difficult thing. And my post was a series of seven small islands who a small police station on the north end of an island is a huge accomplishment. And so finding things like that respond to real needs of the country are an important way to do that.
Donald Trump said when he was in Iowa that the ambassador to China lives like a king, and that he didn't think that was Terry Branstad's motivation. But I got to visit your residence in Barbados, and it was very, very nice. I wouldn't say you live like a king. I know you worked like a dog, however. What is the expectation for how an ambassador lives in these countries? And is it really different in Barbados and Latvia?
Well, it needs to be indigenous. Not so much ostentatious, but representative of the United States as a prosperous and hospitable place. And so we Iowans are not used to being served by a house staff, for instance. So if you want to think of living like a king for me was I could have all kinds of, I could call up in the morning and say, I want to bring 16 people to lunch. And people say, okay, good. That's, to me, that's living and very, very well. Plus, the Chinese especially, I believe, will expect the governor to entertain and to meet people. And the trade missions will be a matter of face for them to attend.
And Chuck Grassley warned that some of that expense comes out of the ambassador's pocket. Did you guys experience that?
No, I don't think it. I mean, it can all be done within the budget, in my opinion. Ambassador Kramer is extremely well-to-do. we're both public servants, but we were able to make by. That will not be an issue. His budget is significant because the mission is
absolutely
significant. And it's not living in
Secretary
elegance.
Northey, I wanted you to get your review now of Tom Vilsack, who's now leaving the USDA. Mm-hmm. You worked with the USDA, obviously, a lot. But, you know, what kind of job did you think he did?
I think he was a great secretary. And certainly there are things that I would have disagreed on and with any Secretary of Agriculture of the Obama administration, but he was a great friend to Iowa, a great friend to the Midwest, and he was a promoter of trade and biotechnology. He was a strong voice within the administration for some things that in some cases weren't always popular within the administration.
I want to, on that, assess mm-hmm. your own. On your political GPS, I'm sure that you've got it tuned in and tracking. What's it showing you as far as your political future?
Of my political
yes.
future? Right now I love being Secretary of Ag. We'll see if there are other opportunities to serve, and I'd be interested in looking at those, but I love what I'm doing and love being Iowa Secretary of Ag.
Former Republican Party Chair Larson, what's the status of your party? We have about 20 seconds left. Now that you have the first woman governor coming from your ranks?
No, I couldn't be happier right now. We're very, very excited about the lieutenant governor becoming governor. We'll see who the new lieutenant governor is. I love Secretary Northey. I think he would be an amazing partner in that capacity as well. But as we go into and look at the control of office of the governor, you know, for the next 10 years now, we're in strong shape, and that's exciting.
And I wish we were in strong shape as far as time, but we're out of it. And thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back next week, 7:30 Friday night, noon on Sunday. I'm Dean Borg. Thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
I'm a dad.
I am a mom.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart. I'm a banker.
I'm an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Iowa Bankers, allowing you to discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
Iowa Communications Network. The availability of high-speed broadband service is essential to fulfilling the promise of a connected Iowa. ICN's Broadband Matters campaign showcases the importance of delivering broadband to all corners of Iowa. Information is available at broadbandmatters.com.
Iowa Community Foundations, an initiative of the Iowa Council of Foundations, connecting donors to the causes and communities they care about, for good, for Iowa, forever. Details at iowacommunityfoundations.org. The Associated General Contractors of Iowa, the public's partner in building Iowa's highway, bridge, and municipal utility infrastructure.
The Arlene McKeever Endowment Fund at the Iowa Public Television Foundation, a fund established to support local programming on Iowa Public Television.